O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When our grandkids were younger, we had all sorts of artwork on our refrigerator. Now we have a refrigerator door full of photographs. Kids love to draw pictures. When I was elementary school principal, I had a stack of pictures that kids had brought to me that they had drawn. They love to draw. And the only limits to their drawing is their creativity. Another thing about children's drawings is that you can tell something about what they see in themselves, about their identity as they see it. A social worker asked a little boy to draw a picture of his family. And as they looked at the picture, the boy's father was much smaller than anybody else. The father was in a 30-day residential program. The mother was taller than the house, and the father was shorter than the house, and the daughter was holding the mother's hand. And there were no smiles on their faces. It seemed the boy was missing from the picture, and the social worker said, "Where are you, Eric? I don't see you in the picture." The boy pointed to a little small black scribble in the corner of the drawing and said, "There I am." The social worker and the psychologist became misty-eyed when they heard Eric speak those words. The issue of the identity of this child will be a lifelong struggle. Can you imagine feeling like a small black scribble at the bottom of a drawing? Most of the time, I try to follow the example of Fred Craddock, who was a great teacher of preachers, and he said you do three things. You tell people what, you say for example, and you say so what. Well, the what is about identity. The struggle for identity. Many of us can relate to Eric in the struggle for identity. Our struggle may not be quite so horrendous as his, but no one escapes the inner question, and it seems almost trivial because we hear it so much. Who am I? Who am I? And yet, it gets to the very core of our being. We make jokes about it. We have gallows laughter about who we are and that sort of thing. But it's really at the core of our being. One of my parishioners said years ago, "Here I am getting ready to retire, and I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up." Actually, his comment was driven by the age-old question, who am I? Who am I? If I'm not in this position, in this job, if I don't have these responsibilities, who am I really when I'm retired and at home? Who am I in college? Who am I really? Those images have changed a lot over the years. You flip through Life magazine 50 years ago. Check out the ads for groceries and washing machines and look at the pictures of women. Or go to the video store and rent Father Knows Best or the Brady Bunch. See how much identity has changed from that time until this time. Changed at least as radically as the subject of data processing. Our scripture this morning is a very strong statement about identity. the identity of Jesus. Did you hear what John said about him? He's the Lamb of God. By the way, that's a foreshadowing of crucifixion, because what happens to lambs at the temple? They're slaughtered twice a day. Here's the Son of God, John said, the Messiah. And the most amazing statement is, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My, how this impacts our identity. Because you see, sin is actually that anything that separates us from being what God wants us to be. What God created us to be. Most of us think about sin in terms of breaking the commandments or breaking the laws of God. And surely we have commandments and we have laws. But the heart of sin is that which keeps me from being everything that God made me to be. And Jesus, according to John's statement, takes away all that. Takes away everything that separates us from God, even if it's something I'd rather hang on to. How important is the identity of Jesus? Well, Martin Copenhaver tells about a conversation that challenged his view of Jesus. And I quote, "An earlier conversation with a feminist friend was a turning point. With passion and no small hint of exasperation, she said to me, 'If Jesus is just another wise teacher, I have no interest at all. I'll be darned if I'm going to let another man tell me how to live my life. If he's not the Son of God, God's chosen, the Messiah, then forget about it.' Her words expressed a conviction that began to overtake me," he said. If John the Baptist was even close to the truth, the identity of Jesus is very much a part of discovering who we are. For example, what happened to those who came in contact with Jesus? If you could sit old John the Baptist down here and you say, "Who are you, John?" He would say, "I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm a herald. I came to point the way for the Messiah. I came to identify the Messiah." You see, John's identity was grounded in the personhood of Jesus. That was his driving force. And then a few moments ago, did you notice verse 2? No, you didn't. Verse 2 says, "As of old, St. Andrew heard it by the Galilean lake. Turn from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for his dear sake." Andrew couldn't keep it to himself when he heard John say, about Jesus, "Here's the Lamb of God." He had to tell somebody. And the first person he went to tell was Simon, his brother. Andrew couldn't wait to tell Simon. He went to him and said, "I've got news for you, brother." And then he brought Simon to Jesus. Once Andrew came to know Jesus, he couldn't sit around and contemplate his navel. He didn't ask a lot of introspective questions about who he was. His relationship to Christ formed his identity. The last of the three people who encountered Jesus is this passage. In this passage was Simon, the son of John. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're a rock." Actually said, "You're Cephas," which means rock, Peter. As it turns out in the story, Peter is a rock that would crumble under pressure before he became the solid rock who would guide the beginning of the infant church. Yet one thing certain, Peter's identity was bound up in the personhood of Jesus. So what? So what? It's clear that the lives of everyone in our text were shaped by their relationship to Christ. But does that have any truth for us today? Many people say, well, that was long ago and far away, and this is now, and I live in a whole different society. I'm certainly not John the Baptist or Simon Peter, and I live in a different world. What does all of this have to do with discovering who I am? Well, the strong message in today's gospel reading is that it transcends time and space. We can discover ourselves in the presence of Christ. When in the presence of Christ, we see our identity, you see. What are the first three things that come to your mind when I ask the question, who are you? Right off the top of your head, who are you? Did you think of your name? Your occupation? Or did you by any chance think, well, I'm a child of God? As John and Andrew and Peter, we will discover most fully who we are in our relationship with God who made us. I've told this little story that Fred Craddock tells. Now, I won't go into the long story, but the short story is that he was in a restaurant in Tennessee in a small town, and this man came up to him and said, what do you do? And Fred said, well, I'm a teacher of preachers. And the man said, I want to tell you a story. And he told the story of how he grew up in a small town in Tennessee. The son of an unwed mother, which was a stigma in a small town back then. And people criticized him. They shunned him. They made fun of him. And he said, one day, a visiting preacher came to town, and I went to the service, and I was sitting in the back, and at the end of the service, I always tried to get out as fast as I could, but when I turned around, this preacher was standing in front of me, and he pointed to me and said, whose boy are you? And he said he was dumbstruck, and then all of a sudden, the preacher said, wait a minute, I know who you are. You're a child of God. And he said, that has made all the difference in my life. And this man became the governor of Tennessee. How wonderful it would be if young children like Eric could have a deep sense of himself by saying, I am a child of God, no matter what people say, instead of a little black scribble at the bottom of the page. There's value and hope and comfort in knowing who we are in a relationship to Christ. And when I see myself in the light of my relationship with the love of God, I gain courage to disregard what others may say or the cubbyhole they try to put me into. Eric didn't become a scribble by himself. He needed love and caring and help. And he will struggle to get his new identity. He'll discover who he is in the arms of God, I pray. And that's where we find our identity, by the way, as children of God. And I pray that we'll all, by the grace of God, discover who we are in Christ Jesus. And who are you? Wait, I know. You're a child of God. Amen.